mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. You love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Let's sing it out. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. One more time. You make all things work together for my good. And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, you love me. Your love never fails. Amen. That is great news, and that is just one of the many, many reasons that we have to bless the Lord and to praise His name. Let's continue worshiping. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Ooh, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be seen.
Why don't you have a seat? 10,000 reasons. Maybe you can't think of 10,000 reasons on the spot, but you can think of five. Five reasons right now that you're grateful to God for what he's doing in your life. And, you know, it may not even be an easy season, but you can still find some things that you say, you know what, even in this difficult time, God is being faithful to me as I walk through a wilderness season. Flipping things a bit this morning, so I want you to be prepared for it. We're actually doing communion and the offering up front. Okay, so for those of you that wait to fill out an envelope, just giving you a little warning on that, but also to fill you in that we're going to go ahead with communion now. And, you know, we take a lot of different approaches, a lot of different themes when it comes to communion. Sometimes it's just time of being quiet and reflective. But I'll tell you what, today between great night we had Thursday night, gathering as a church, the beautiful weather outside, and just a number of things that you could call attention to. I want to encourage you today, as we take this time for communion, to take some time in your mind, in your heart, to say thanks to God. And if you can think of nothing else, as that tray comes to you today and you touch the bread and you touch the cup, remember there's a God in heaven who loves you. He sent his son to die for you so that you can have eternal life, and thank him for that. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now as we have this chance to partake in communion, that we have the chance to say thanks to you for the 10,000 reasons and more that you've given us for giving you expressions of gratitude. And I pray that as we receive communion right now, even the reception of it would be an expression back to you of thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a word to all the ones who feel forgotten, but you are not. We're alive, 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 and we're singing. We're alive, 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 and we're shaking. We're alive, 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 alive in you. And we are soaked in all the grace that we've been given, unchanged. Feel your love rush over us. Lord, if you can use us, fill us up. Let us feel your love rush over us. Lord, if you can use us, fill us up. Let us feel your love rush over us. Lord, if you can use us, fill us up. Feel your love rush over us. We're alive. We're alive, 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 and we're singing. We're alive, 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 and we're shaking. We're alive, 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 alive in you. We're alive, 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 and we're singing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this life that you have given us. We thank you that through your blood and by your forgiveness, Lord God, we are unchained from everything that we've done. And we thank you for that new life that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.
So our servers are going to come now and they'll collect the offering. And as they do, a few things to share with you before we get on with the theme of our morning. If you are part of a small group, you've signed up for a small group, this is the week a lot of the journey groups are beginning. So just want to throw that reminder out to you. You may have registered a month ago and you've kind of forgotten that that thing is coming. You may want to look at your calendar and make sure that you're at that first group. I think it's always important to get to the first group meeting. You know, that's the one that very often is that icebreaker. You're doing the whole "Hi, my name is" thing. And for some of you, you just can't stand that. But guess what? If you don't do it that week, you got to do it the second or the third or the fourth. And before you know it, you might even skip it altogether because you don't want to go through that. Please just put yourself out there. Get a part of that group. One of the groups that we're doing is actually a weekend event. It's a marriage conference put on by Family Life Today. And today at 11:45 in room 113, you can go learn more about that. So the service will end. You'll have a little bit of time. We'll make sure your kids are taken care of, but you can go and hear details about that conference in terms of how it all works. It's room 113. Now you say, where is that? Well, it's not this room. Okay, so that's one room eliminated in the school. If you just start wandering down that hallway, look for clusters of people, you'll find it. Just look for the numbers on the door. Do you ever have one of those moments in your life that you wish you had a video? I mean, oh man, I wish I had that thing on tape. I had one of those moments last night. We're gathered with the group over at the chairs for the prayer chair night. It's a great night, beautiful night out there. And before anybody got there, I'm wandering around, and a rabbit runs out of some beans and runs into Austin's garden. And I see this, and you know, this is like, if you're a gardener, this is my nemesis. The dentist and the rabbits have all kinds of battles. So I see it run in there, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Because there's chicken wire on all sides, and just this one little opening. I'm like, he's in there now. I'm just going to go give him a little heart attack. So I start chasing him, and he's, you know, flopping and jumping and running over here, running over there. And he's just, you know, frantic trying to get out. Sorry, all of you that love rabbits, but it was a lot of fun. So anyway, running around, doing all this, and then he finally finds the hole. And he pops out, and I'm like, I'm going after him. And so I start running toward him, forgot that the chicken wire is still down on the ground, foot got caught under it, and I went I didn't even put my arms out. I just did an all out, boom, onto the ground, belly flopped, knocked myself out, my wind out for the first time in 20 years. I'm standing up, and I'm trying to laugh, and I'm like, this is great. I wish I had a video. So anyway, that is one of the many in the collection in heaven that I'm going to pull. Let's see that again and just watch it blooper reel over and over. We had some of our kids put together a series of great memorable videos for our dinner the other night. I mean, we had such a great time. It was really, really fun. And our junior high has put together a series of these spoof videos of the AT&T commercials. And they did a great job with them. It was a beautiful night, like I said. And as we moved away from that evening, we thought, what do we do with this? Because, you know, in reality, because of schedules and everything else, only about half the church got to be able to be there. So there were a lot of people that didn't get a chance to see the videos and hear the message and know what was going on with that. So what we're going to do this morning is a little bit of a modified version of that evening. What does modified mean? There will be no fried chicken. Okay, so sorry, dinner is gone. The lighting is a little different. The setting is a little different. We actually have better technology here than we did there, which is helpful. You can actually hear the videos well and know what's going on. So we love that part. But we just want to walk through the pieces because I think here's the important part. We're at a stage in our church with the building and everything else that we want to make sure that everybody's all in and everybody's on the same page. That there's nobody wandering around going, you know, what's he talking about? Or I didn't know about that or whatever. So this gives us kind of a same page moment. So some of the things we're going to see and hear this morning, some of you already heard it once. But, you know, I've learned from experience that hearing things twice isn't a bad idea. Just ask him. So having said that, I want to give you the first of four really great videos by our junior hires. Here we go.
So what's better, dreaming big or not dreaming at all?
Big!
Okay, and what is something you'd dream for if I told you to dream really big?
I dream up a changer machine so that I could change my sister into a zipline.
Well, couldn't you just dream up a zipline?
Yeah, but if her sister's a zipline, she can bring all her friends to church and say, "Hey everybody, here's my zipline sister!"
Well, when you put it like that, it makes perfect sense.
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. So trade up to bigger dreams. Get them now by hearing what other Southfielders are dreaming.
This idea apparently was planted in Nicole's mind before she was even born. Because if you go back to the old days when we did day camp on the grounds, her mom and Jaron got on the zip lines and had themselves quite a little race. So it was kind of fun. We're still trying to figure out who won in this picture. Obviously, Jaron's a little bit ahead, but who knows? That's not necessarily the way it ended. I tell you what, as we think about this stage of where we are, the thing, as we talk about dreams that we have, one of the dreams that I have is pretty simple. My dream is that we dream. My dream is that as we move into this stage as a church, there are dreams that will unlock for us again. Not just dreams of buildings, not just dreams of things like that, but there may be something in your life right now that just feels really frozen and you've given up hope. And it's my hope that through this, as we see the way God unlocks some things that have been frozen for a while, that maybe that'll cause you to start dreaming again. For me, my dreams got reignited sitting in these chairs. this summer as we asked you to come to these chairs that we called the prayer chairs and just sat and prayed to God about what's the next step and where are you taking us and what do you desire? I got a chance in that place night after night to just speak to God and listen to him and allow my heart to thaw, a heart that had been frozen for a while when it came to dreams. It was in the mid-2000s that we saw this map. This map is it's showing us what the growth was supposed to be like in this area from 2007 to 2012. They told us this area was going to grow by 20 to 45%. And if you were around in 2007, it was on pace. It was moving and moving fast. And what we realized is that we needed to get moved from our old location to our new location on our land as fast as we could because the growth was here and it was happening. And so we got here. In fact, one of the things that we did, we sent out a card inviting people to come be a part of this adventure called Southfield. This arrived in the mail. Our official public opening was Sunday, October 19th, 2008. And I'll tell you, there was a lot of hope and a lot of optimism. And then it was as if God took his finger and put it on the pause button of the VCR. Boom. Everything just kind of came to a stop in terms of the economy. You remember, you were there. Some of you lost your jobs or you sat wondering what was going to happen with your job. And it put the aspirations of a dream on hold as well. And for me, that season felt a lot like this image, where I just stood and waited and wondered, God, what in the world are you up to? I mean, we moved out here. We came out. I remember saying to somebody this past year, I wonder at what point Moses stopped saying in the wilderness, hey, this is one of the anniversaries of us leaving Egypt. And, you know, you just kind of get to that point that you hope nobody will ask and we'll just keep moving along. The building wasn't everything, to be honest. There was still a lot of good stuff happening along the way, like this image. This, for me, is iconic Southfield. This is a baptism down at the river, and that day we got to baptize Pam along with John, plunging her under those waters. It was a beautiful, wonderful moment, reminding us of what we're all about. We're about seeing people's lives change. Pam was actually one of the people that received that postcard. Just days before, she had been praying about where she was going to go to church and kind of a, God, give me a sign. And the sign came in the mail and there it was. She's like, all right, I'm going to go. And she's been here ever since. It's just amazing to see the way God has used this place being here to reach into people's lives. It was in 1995 that I came and was talking to Roger Swank. He was one of our elders at that time. And he laid out six things that we need to chase after. And the sixth one was we need to become more outreach minded. We had become a church that was really ingrown. We were happy about taking care of ourselves, but we weren't really looking out to see who we could help or what we could do for anyone else. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest changes over the past 20 years, you may think it's the music or the location, it's the fact that our heart went from a heart that was focused on us to a heart that is focused beyond us, a heart that really wants to reach out. Good things have always been happening in the time that we've been here. But this building thing has been frozen until now. Until now, there's this opportunity to really dream again and dream big. Said it all along, a building isn't a church and our dream isn't a building. A building is a tool to be able to do more ministry, to be able to reach more people and reach them effectively. So I always want to keep that in the right place. But, you know, I've come to a realization. I mean, I've actually had tears in my eyes. I'm out there doing my garden this year, realizing this is the last year that my tomatoes will be there and my potatoes will be there and my beans will be over here. And I'm working on this garden. I'm realizing one day as I'm pulling some potatoes out of the ground, a year from now, this is going to be a paved spot. And I'm going to be parking my car where my potatoes are right now. And it's just so cool when you finally have that opportunity to wait and wait and wait to see something happen. And it finally unlocks. So my hope and dream is that this will be a place where people realize dreams, where you don't stop being hopeful. And not just wishful thinking, but realizing that in a relationship with Christ, all things truly are possible. Let's cue up another of our videos.
So who thinks more is better than less? Okay, why?
More is better than less because if there's more or less stuff, then you might want more, but your parents just don't let you because there's only a little.
Right.
We want more. We want more. Like, if you really like it, you want more.
Yeah. Right. I follow you.
It's not complicated. More is better. Warehouse students dream about impacting more of their friends.
It's not complicated. More is better. That's why my dream for Southfield is that God will use our new church home to give more people an experience like the one I've had here. I have a great admiration for the dreamers, the visionaries who see not just what is, but what could be, what should be, and challenge the rest of us to see what God can do when we say yes. And while I am all about completing the task, I have also learned the value of dreaming with the dreamers. Jesus Christ is my forgiver and leader. I learned what that means here in this body. I am learning how to live a life that honors God here with you. My dream is that every person who walks through our brand new doors has that same kind of amazing, life-changing experience in their own journey, that they feel the love that we have for Jesus Christ and for each other, and that they know, whatever their story, that they have a place at our table. I also dream that our kids will know their own value in the eyes of God, that they know that they matter to God and that they matter to us. We want to help them figure out what it means to follow Jesus and how they can make that happen. I hope that we will always be a fun, safe place where our kids can know and be known, love and be loved, serve and be served, and celebrate and be celebrated. My dream for Southfield is that we all, each and every one of us, learn that we are built by God to be uniquely gifted to serve Him and to serve one another. Over the years, our church has impacted many people, like Ryan Simpson, for example. He was a young boy who lived across the street from our old building. Ryan is now in heaven. We dedicated a park to his memory at the old building. And on the sign, we referred to him as the greatest among us. Ryan knew how to serve wholeheartedly, passionately, and with overwhelming joy. Like Ryan, I hope we never say no to serving or to giving because it seems too big or too much or too scary or to anything else that keeps us from our calling. I hope we always believe that next steps are there to be taken, that comfort zones were designed to be blown up, and that sacred cows make the best ribeyes if they stand in the way of our reaching people for Christ. I am grateful for the dreamers. They invite me to dream along with them, and I get to watch God move in the most amazing ways. It really isn't complicated. Of course, more is better.
All right, when it comes to being better, what's better? Being better or worse?
Better!
All right, what are some things you're better at?
I'm better at telling jokes.
Okay, let's see what you've got.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Olive.
Olive who?
Olive Southfield.
Oh, I love something?
No, it's Olive. See, I make it funny.
She doesn't get it.
It's not complicated. Better is better. Warehouse students dream about having the nation's funniest and most confused youth network.
I have the best job ever. I love it. It's not complicated. Better is better. And there's no better example of living the life that God intends for us than Roger and Janet Swank. That's why my dream for Southfield in the next 100 years, that our church will help show thousands of more people how to experience a better life by dedicating their lives to Christ and the way that the Swanks have. When you think about it, God only asks us to do two things. He comes to us and says, hey, my relationship with you is broken, and that needs to be repaired. Admit that you've sinned and accept my son's payment for your sins, because there's nothing you can do about it. And then as soon as you do that, live the life that I've laid out for you in the Bible, every moment of every day. It's not complicated, and Roger and Janet know that. They've spent the last 50 years serving our church, seeking to let God lead every moment of every day. Over that 50 years, God has called them to do what some of us might consider to be extraordinary things. They've led committees, created ministries, and changed several lives. But that's not why I'm talking about them. I'm talking about them today because I've never known two people who so faithfully and for so long have said yes to God every day, no matter the cost, no matter what he's asked them to do. God has asked them to empty trash, visit shut-ins, shuffle documents, make coffee, rescue families in crisis, clean toilets, make up for others' shortcomings, take unpopular stands, wax floors, relocate victims of abuse, make phone calls, love each other even when they didn't find it the most easy thing to do. Sacrifice financially, remember names, send cards, balance accounts, and honestly, I could stand up here all day and just keep going because the list is seemingly never ending. But it's not the vastness of this list that matters. What matters is that God, or that they have done whatever God has asked them to do, and they've said yes each and every time, and they've followed that through with excellence and humility. So what's my dream for Southfield? That 100 years from now, our church will have played a significant role in creating hundreds and thousands of more Rogers and Janets. I want more people to wake up each morning asking God, what do you want me to do today? And then to actually go out there and do it. People who don't waver in the face of God's agenda, even when it's hard or it's unpopular. And people who won't quit until the day that God calls them home. It really isn't complicated. Better is simply better.
Okay, how much money do you think we can raise?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay, how about you?
Infinity.
Wow. Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Oh, sorry. We're actually looking for infinity plus infinity.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Better is better. With God's help, Southfield's network has the potential to raise, well, a lot more than $10.
You know, sometimes things get stuck in your head. I have heard, what about infinity times infinity, a million times in my head in the last couple weeks as that video has been being pulled together. In 1881, there was a group of people who dared to dream of reaching their fellow friends for Christ. People who didn't speak English, they spoke Swedish. They came here and they were looking for a church and they couldn't find one, and so they decided to plant one of their own. And I imagine 132 years later, they would be blown away, literally blown away, to see all that came from the dream that they had so long ago. Our church's first building is located on Jackson Street. It's still there today. And I love the story of this building. As you look at the drawing, you can see there's kind of a line. There's the lower part where the door is, and then the rest of the building going on up. As they built this building, they didn't have the funds to complete it. So what they did is built that lower part where the doors are, and they just put a lid on it. They put a cover on it, and they met there for about a decade. It's all they could afford to build. Place became nicknamed the cellar. You were meeting in the basement for church. And during those next 10 years, they did everything they could to raise the funds they needed. $10,000. $10,000 is all they needed in order to complete that task. You know, we look at that in modern times and go, my goodness, there are numbers of people that could solve that problem on the spot. And you kind of wish you had their problem instead of ours. Wouldn't it be a lot easier? Well, it is true that our facility is going to cost a lot more, but to be perfectly honest, I don't think that sacrifice has ever been easy for anyone. Proportionally, there's always a degree of difficulty, and the truth is, when we're wanting to do something, when we dream a dream worth dreaming, there's always, always a stretch of faith involved. We know that money doesn't grow on trees. We get that. We understand that adage. I mean, would that it actually did. But honestly, I think that God provides resources in a way that is far more miraculous. Basically what he does, he's our Father, we're his kids, and he says, everything I have is yours. Here you go. But by the way, I want you to share it. And I want you to use it for me. And the miracle is when he unlocks our hearts and we're willing to go ahead and share the things that he's given to us in the first place. So when we were in the process of voting this summer, one of the things we talked about is, yes, we're going to have to go through a process of raising some funds. And we're doing this in two stages. The first is just kind of a one-time offering that we want to collect before the end of the year. In fact, the main date we're aiming at is December 8th, a one-time offering. And then from there, we'll be talking about more of a long-range fundraising initiative. And today what we're here to tell you about is 11 families who have already been on an 11-week journey. Back in July, we talked to 11 families and said, would you consider just praying and asking God what you might be able to provide in terms of a one-time offering toward the building? And we gathered the other night to hear a lot of their stories, to hear what the path God took them on as they walked through this journey of faith. We nicknamed them the Show Me the Way team, because they're showing the rest of us the way that this can be done. You got to understand, these people were not chosen based on looking a list and saying, who's got the greatest giving potential in the church? That's not what it was about. In fact, what we really tried to do was look at a broad segment of people, everyone from a retired couple on a fixed income to a student who just graduated and doesn't have a job yet, all kinds of different life segments, a couple that is working right now to get two children through college, looking at those challenges and just coming before God, asking and praying, what is it, God, that you're calling me to do? As they prayed, we asked them to pray through six questions. And you're going to receive a card today that's going to have five of those six questions on the card. How can I earn extra money? What income can I go without? What can I sell? What expenses can I eliminate? Who can I recruit to join me? And what do I have that God can use? And a lot of the people that told their stories the other night, Deirdre's told stories about selling some coins they had, and Joey sold his car. Here he's going off to college. He sold his truck and said, use that money toward the building. We have people who have already said, you know what, for the next few months, I'm just going to go out without this portion of my income and use that instead toward the building. One of the things our family has been doing is just praying for people that have been a part of our church in the past, that they would be moved to give toward this, and that they give a very specific amount. We've already had five people do that without contacting them or talking to them about it. Five people have gone ahead with that very specific amount, including one of those checks arriving the morning of the dinner. I mean, it's amazing to see what God does as he stretches your challenges, your faith. There are two of the stories that I want you to hear today. One is Brian's going to come and share a story that's been unfolding for him over the last few weeks. And then we'll hear from Bob and Stephanie Coyne.
All right, so I'm going to start off by saying that God has given me several gifts that I've been able to use to incredible potential throughout my life. And one of these, actually, some of you in this very room have fallen victim to. And that is the gift that God has given me to be an incredible fantasy sports player. I tend to come in the top, top third of my league every time I play. And I joined a fantasy baseball league this year that I did with a bunch of high school friends. And from the very beginning, I was on top. All right. And it's been going all season. And, there's a good amount of work that you have to put into this. So I'm getting excited and I realize, all right, there's a lot of prize money on the line. So about halfway through, I'm just crushing everybody. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to spend this money on? You know, I'm really excited. And I actually missed the email that told us to do this because my mom sends me about 100 a day. So I usually skim through and pick about every 10th one. So I missed this one. So I got a 2-week late head start on this project. And as I started going through and praying about it, God kind of just smacked me in the head and said, hey, you've been working really hard at playing fantasy baseball, and then if you get this prize money, this is what it should be going towards. I've obviously, what do I have that God can use? An ability to win fantasy sports. But that's not the cool part of the story. The cool part of the story actually happened Wednesday. I'm in the championship this week and winning, but I'm playing a kid who I was pretty good friends with in high school. We played baseball together, and he shot me a text Wednesday morning, and at that time we were tied. And so he's talking about how close it was and how excited he was to, you know, potentially win this big grand prize that our league offers. And so I started talking about it, and we started talking about what we'd spend the money on. I told him that we had this huge fundraiser the next night, or the dream dinner, and that I was going to be donating whatever I won towards the building of our new building. He said, oh, that's cool, great. And the conversation died, because I'm sure he wasn't thinking about donating it to a church. And again, this is a kid who has absolutely no connection to church, any church whatsoever. But later that night, as I was leading junior high, I got a text from him, and he said, hey, you know, I've got a really good job right now, and I really don't need the money that I would win if I won this league. So win or lose, you can have my portion of the prize money, because first and second place both get money. And so now, I mean, it's incredible to me to watch how God can work through someone who has absolutely no connection to any church and say, wow, I don't need this. Here, you guys can have it.
There's always a part of the story that gets missed, and the part is where he got that tremendous gift. Because all week long, my team has been playing his team, and I've been being pounced and trounced. And yesterday, I pulled ahead 8-3, and today there will be singing at our house, and a crown will descend from heaven, and I will be the champion of our free league. But anyway, all for pride. Okay, so this group got a head start. They got a head start. They were able to think through ways, these questions. God, how can you answer these questions for us? And as they arrived Thursday night, we had them write their amount on a tag. And we're going to ask you to be using one of these tags in a little bit just for your name. But they wrote the amount on a tag and they put it in a box. And we went and totaled it up. It was anonymous. They get this head start. And again, they're showing us the way. 11 families. What can they do? How can God use them? And the total that they came up with was $68,350. Yeah, no kidding. $68,350 from 11 families that prayed and said, God, how do you want me to help? What do you want me to do? And the fun part is that when you look at that list of questions, everybody got hit on a different one. You know, it's not like every question applied to every person. Everyone got hit on a little bit different one. And I want Bob and Stephanie Coyne to come share their story, because theirs is one that's different from some of the others. And, you know, what's cool about them coming and sharing their story is not just the story, but the fact that Stephanie's going to be on the platform. I expected to see Jesus descend from heaven before I expected to see Stephanie on a platform. So let's hear your story, guys.
Okay. So, yeah, we got invited to the team, 11 weeks ago. And, you know, I saw the questions up there a little bit ago. And I struggled with it. You know, I'm like, you know, I've seen a lot of people with some really good ideas in our church. You know, they're doing the, you know, taking pictures, and, you know, that money's going to go toward the church. And I'm not that good with the camera, so that's out. And, you know, someone's cutting hair, and those proceeds are going to the church. And, well, if I cut your hair, you're going to get a bowl on your head first before I start cutting. And I'm a terrible fantasy manager, so that ain't happening. So I'm thinking through, and I'm praying, you know, for this time, like, you know, what am I going to do? You know, how's this going to work? Well, it gave me time to reflect, and I looked back, and I said, well, God's actually started us on this journey about 2 years ago when we took the Dave Ramsey class, the financial peace class, where, you know, Dave uses biblical principles to teach you how to manage your finances. At that time, we were, you know, financially wrecked, you know, a lot of eyeballs up to our eyeballs in debt and just, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Well, after taking that class, it helped us budget. We've become faithful tithers. We learned how to save money. And so we're in a position now that, you know, we can help. And so at the start of this, I told Steph, I said, all right, you go your way. I want you to pray about how much we should give. And I'm going to go and pray, you know, about how much I think we should give. So 2 weeks or last week at dinner, I said, all right, you know, it's coming due here. Well, you know, what'd you come up with? You know, what'd God tell you that we're going to give? And, you know, so she gave her number, and I'm like, Yeah. So you're right there with me. I got you. I said, I'm comfortable with that, you know, because that's right where I'm at. I'm comfortable. And that was a mistake.
Because I then said, don't say the word comfortable. Because for me, when I was praying about it, what came through was sacrifice. What can we sacrifice for God? And what immediately came to mind was we had been saving money for home improvement projects, getting the house ready to sell so that we can buy something newer that's got less work. And so it was just clear to me that, you know, those are our plans. So we should let those go and see what God's plans are. So when I told him my dollar amount and he's like, yeah, that sounds good. I think, you know, that I'm comfortable with that. That's where I was like, no, this is about sacrifice. So that's when he said, okay, well, I do have a stretch number in mind. And I go, okay, well, then maybe we should pray about that some more. And he immediately was, I could see the resistance on his face. He's like, I don't want to pray about this anymore. And so before he could even get the words out, I could see it on his face, but he didn't say a word. He was starting to say something, and then all of a sudden he started to laugh, and laugh so hard that he was getting red in the face, and he started pointing at something. And I'm like, are you okay?
So, yeah, she goes, we need to pray about this. And I'm just like, you know, I can pray until I'm 68 and I'm not going to get comfortable with, you know, with this answer. And so I'm thinking this through in my head. And the thought that's starting to occur to me is God's going to have to give me a billboard, a sign. I need proof that I am okay to go ahead with this, stretch. And I couldn't even formulate that and get that thought into words when I started thinking it, my eyes glanced across our kitchen table, and there on the edge is a magazine. And on the cover of that magazine was the number. It was the stretch goal. And I couldn't even tell her that I needed a sign from God. God gave me the sign before I even requested it. And so I am now being stretched.
And you are uncomfortable.
Yes, I am uncomfortable.
Well, if you're like me, you're of all the people in the church that could be made uncomfortable, the Coyne family is just that they're the ones that I want to see made the most uncomfortable, because they made me very uncomfortable with boot camp and running and every other sort of a thing. So I love their story, in part because it reminds me of another story in the Bible. And I really think that it gets to a biblical principle. The story is about a king in Israel. The king's name was David. And David, being the king, had access to pretty much whatever he needed. In fact, there were people that would offer King David their resources, their land, their animals, whatever it was that he needed, they would give it to him. And there was one time when David got himself in a really sticky situation, and God made it clear to him that he was to give a very specific offering in a very specific place. And so David went to the house of a man named Aruna. And when he was approaching that house, Aruna saw him and ran out and said, "Oh, King David, you can have my property to make this sacrifice that you need to make. You can have my animals to make the sacrifice." And David kind of stood back and thought for a minute and said, "No, I am not going to give an offering to God that costs me nothing. I'm not going to do that." And David went on to make the sacrifice. He paid Aruna the full price of the property and gave that sacrifice to God. Now, sometimes we hear stories like that and we think, why don't we see God today act in the ways that we saw in the Bible? And I think sometimes it's because we don't give God the opportunity to show up and do miracles, some of which you got to hear this morning. We're focused on doing the things that we feel like we need to do, earning for the things that we think that we need, and then we get frustrated when God doesn't show up in the way that we think that he should or provide in the way that we want him to do. Well, what if, instead of thinking the way that we're used to thinking, what if our mindset got flipped? And we started thinking the way that David thought. I'm not going to give God an offering or a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I want to feel it. That was precisely the challenge that was issued to the people that were on this showing the way team. And we spent that 11 weeks praying and asking God to show us how he would have us give. And then really just trying to listen and then act on what God showed us. And there's something really interesting that happens when you go through a process like that. You get to watch God work in miraculous ways. And those things then become part of your story, of your walk, of the relationship that you experience with God. And nobody can take that from you. That's your experience that you've had. And God has shown up in an amazing way. That's the invitation that we're extending to you. Over the next 11 weeks, we're asking you to join us. Be a part of this 11-week journey and see what God will do and where he leads you. And our hope is that we all get on the page where we can say, I'm ready to walk in David's footsteps. I'm ready to ask that question. God, show us what you will have us do, and we're willing to follow.
So on the day that Brian was born, December 12th, 1989, Kim cried. And some of you are like, well, that's a shock. You know, Kim kind of cries a lot. But anyway, she cried. And I'm kind of guessing, you know, it must be a painful process. I get the crying, and no, that's not it. And overwhelmed with joy, well, yeah, but that's not it. Well, why are you crying? How are we ever going to pay for his college? I'm just like, are you serious, really? Being born and you're worried about college funds? And then 2 years later, Shelly's born. She's bawling again. And I'm like, let me guess, college. Yeah, it's college, college. She's got, you know, this just really had her gripped. And when we did the building campaign over at the old building, one of the things that we were inspired to do was give the money that we had basically put aside for college for our kids. And I talk about a stretch of faith. I mean, that was terrifying. Here, this is something that Kim had worried about from day one of my child's life and my second child's life. It's funny, she doesn't worry about it for Nate. Not because Nate won't go to school, but because she's seen the way God supplied twice already and that God will supply again. There's another story in the Bible about Elijah. Elijah is part of Israel at a time that it's just incredibly wicked. And one of the ways God chooses to get Israel's attention is to cause a famine in the land. Water dries up, food is gone, and Elijah needs to eat. And God tells him to go talk to a widow in a town, and she'll supply for him. So he goes to talk to that widow, and here she's out gathering sticks, and he says, you're supposed to give me something to eat. And she's like, you don't understand. I mean, I'm gathering these sticks so that I can make a meal so that my son and I can have our last meal, and then we can lay down and die. And he says, well, give me the food. And she's kind of processing this. And one of the things she says was, you know, if your God said to do this, then I will do this. If your God said, I mean, specifically, not if our God, if your God said to do this, I will do this. And she goes ahead and she makes up that cake and she gives it to Elijah, not knowing where any food is going to come, not just for her, but for her child. And if you have a kid, you know the routine. It's one thing for you to not eat. It's another thing to watch your child suffer. And what we know from that story is because she took that initiative, because she did that, because she obeyed, God supplied for her and her family throughout that entire famine. And I really think that story is there, and it's important to show us that we need to trust God first. I got to be honest with you. When I used to hear that story in Sunday school as a kid, I didn't like it. I thought Elijah was rude. How in the world can you ask this lady for her food? I mean, you let her eat first, and then you have the leftover crumbs. But Elijah was trying to teach a much greater principle. We always give to God first, and God will take care of the things that we need. And so part of the process we're in right now is that process of asking, will we not just raise money? This isn't about money. And will we not just build a building, but will we allow God to stretch our faith? Will we actually put legs to the dreams that God has given us? So I'd like you to take the next couple of moments just processing everything you've heard. And in the meantime, watch a video that's been put together of a beautiful song that talks about dreaming and features several of the people of our church.
I was a little girl alone in my little world who dreamed of a little home for me. I played pretend between the trees and fed my house guests bark and leaves and laughed in my pretty bed of green. I had a dream that I could fly from the highest swing. I had a dream. Long walks in the dark through woods grown behind the park. I asked God who I'm supposed to be.
Thank Janet. It was 8 years ago that we stood in practically the same spot. And that when our dream began. I remember back then we had a successful summer day camp.
Yes,
with about 300 kids in attendance. Mm-hmm. And most of them were from our church. They were just kids from the neighborhood, and they came for that 1 week, and many of them accepted Jesus before that 1 week was over. And I look at this property that we're standing here observing, and I'm thinking, man, this is made to order for a summer day camp.
Right. These were our dreams.
To say about this life I'm willing to leave. I lived it full, I lived it well, as many tales I live to tell. I'm ready now, I'm ready now, I'm ready now to fly from the
So I have 11 families that are asking you to join them, to join them in taking on the challenges, just praying to God. We're not setting financial goals on this thing, okay? This isn't one of those, here's the glory goal and here's the hallelujah goal and all these other goals in between. We have one simple goal, that you will enter into a conversation with God and allow him to stretch your faith and see where it lands, see what happens. And to do that, we have a handful of tools. One, you'll receive one of these or several today. It's up to you. It's got the beautiful, iconic picture that that Daisy has taken of the prayer chairs with the questions on the back side. And take that and have it in a place that you can use to pray. We made up 1,500 of these, so you can take 2 or 10. It's up to you. But as many as you need in order to help you in the process, do that. The second thing we'd like you to do, you received a price tag as you came in today. And again, this isn't to put a number on. This is to put something far more expensive on, and that's to put you. It's to put your name on. And what we're going to ask you, if you're willing to consider being a part of this 11-week, the next 77 days, put your name on this. Put your family name on it. And as you're leaving today, you'll notice it's hard to miss. There's a table in the middle of the hallway where the coat racks normally are, and there's a box there. Put your tag in there to just say, you know what, I'll be part of praying and seeing how God supplies and how God prompts my faith and what he does. Now, we have extras of these too at that table. And here's the other part of this. Take one or several home and just hang them in a place that it'll remind you. Like right now, we have one on the door that leads out to our garage. And every time I go, I open that knob and I see that. And I just immediately just pray up a quick prayer to God as I'm seeing that. And I'll tell you what, I've been in and out of the garage a lot lately. So there have been a lot of quick prayers, but nice visual reminders. So put the one in with your name and then just take as many of the others as you want in order to remind yourself. And then the final thing is just to pray and listen and respond. Be praying to God, listening to what he has to say, and respond however he says. December 8th, we'll come back together for an in-gathering offering, and we'll see what God does. I'll tell you what, I'm blown away. Almost $70,000 from 11 families. I saw the number, I thought it was the wrong number. I really did. And I have to wonder if we were all moved to really listen to God, not just to aim at a figure, but to really listen to God. What could he do in and through us? So as you're leaving today, make sure you put your name on that tag if you're sincere about doing it. If not, don't worry about that. Put it in the box. Take some of the cards, take some tags for home, and just start this adventure. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it from time to time, and we'll be excited to see the way God chooses to stretch our faith along the way. Would you stand with me, and we're going to pray. Our Father, we love you and we thank you so much for giving us things that we can use back for you. And as we've been challenged today, for some of us, wow, we can kind of jump into this immediately and say, oh my goodness, there are these things I could do and I know exactly what God's leading me to do. And we need to slow down long enough to hear you and say, yeah, God, is that actually what you're saying? And then for others, they're looking at their situation right now and just saying, there's no way anything can happen. And they're feeling defeated by this and just how in the world could God ever use me? And God, that's what this is all about. Use this as a season of growing our faith in you, helping us to really be able to trust you and not just the thing we have in our hand. Help us like David to say, I won't give to God that which costs me nothing. Help us like that widow to say, I'm willing to give to you first in order to wait and see the way in which God is going to come through for me. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So again, a reminder as you're leaving, if you want to learn more about that marriage conference, 1145, room 113, put your tag in the box. We got to put away the chairs. But while we're doing that, we got a blooper video for you to watch. So go ahead. We'll see ya. Have a great day.
You've got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes, you will, that you're beautiful as you feel.
Go ahead.
And that was pretty funny, actually. So who thinks more is better than less? I will give you what you want.
Did they actually fart? That's
no. Not farting. So who thinks more is better than less? What if I was talking about cockroaches? Gross. I'm now deaf in my left ear. John, you're clinically insane.
Why? Why?
My point exactly. When you put it like that, it makes perfect sense. What's better, eating boogers or wiping them on the wall?
Wiping them on the wall!
Yeah! What's better, being better or worse? Wait, no, winning.
a little girl alone in my little world who dreamed of a little home for me. I played pretend between the trees and fed my house guests bark and leaves and laughed in my pretty bed of green. I had a dream that I could fly from the highest swing. I had a dream. Long walks in the dark through woods grown behind the park. I asked God who I'm supposed to be.